The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
I never thought I'd actually be working in radio as a performer. That came about just by an extraordinary chance.
I think as long as there is a desire, which I think there always will be, for human storytelling and people to connect via stories, there will always be beautiful speech radio.
I just don't want to think of what we do as old.
This is the most amazing medium.
It's real. It's the voice of one human being to another.
It's like having a chum.
Radio Today was excited to be at the Media Society's We Need to Talk About Radio event on Tuesday night at the City University in London. It promised to tell us why radio is at the envy of the world. Radio Today continued the conversation with the speakers, organisers and attendees.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
First to catch up with the Radio Today programme was Gillian Reynolds, a Daily Telegraph's radio critic who chaired the discussion.
This was like a conversation with everybody in the room who was a friend. I mean, people were very, very open. It's very rare to hear two network controllers, two seriously important network controllers, talk about policy, talk about thought, talk about the deeply intimate experience of listening to radio. And as for our three broadcasters, weren't they superb? The talent pool is smaller than it used to be for reasons we discussed tonight. Talent will shine through. There's no question about it. And because the radio is a warm, embracing and supportive employer generally, people like to work in it. The generosity of people at the end talking about their favourite presenters, their favourite, which just went to my heart. I loved it. I'd wake up to 5 Live in the morning. I listen to it an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'd always catch about an hour of Today. I always listen to Nick. I always listen to him when he's got a special guest like Nigel Farage. There are nights when the comedy on Radio 4 at 6:30 drives me mad, but then I run and embrace Composer of the Week on Radio 3, who is wonderful this week. It's a Mexican composer called Ponce, who I'd never heard before, and the music is sublime.
Geraldine Sharp Newton, president of the Media Society.
You don't do these things by yourself. I mean, Gillian is absolutely, she can lift up the phone and, you know, these are all her chums as well. So I'm quite privileged to be a chum of hers and have it work. And I think that basically it was a terrific evening, especially for students and for all of us who have been great listeners to radio. I mean, this is a country that radio is extraordinarily special. I mean, America's radio is, it's a lot of commercial breaks. So you don't have the wonderful flow of the kind of talk shows that you have here. They're much more, some of them are much more angry.
Paul Gambaccini, author and broadcaster on what keeps radio alive and what he calls his personal product.
It's real. It's the voice of one human being to another, which incidentally was the nature of the grieving over Terry Wogan. Because everyone pointed out that his relationship with his listener was one-to-one. And that is something that no other medium can beat. You can't beat it also from an experiential point of view, by the way, because when you broadcast radio, you are in charge of the final product. When you broadcast on television, you're one of several sources of input. There's the cameraman, there's the director, there's the makeup artist, the lighting man or woman, and the other speakers on the program, and you're not in control. That makes it sound like I'm a control freak, but I would more like to think of myself as an auteur. If you are trying to make a program in a personal way, radio's the way to go, not TV. I'm one of the few broadcasters who's had the luxury of always choosing his own music. On the other hand, that's partly because I've turned down the opportunity to do programs where I couldn't, because I know. And you do have to have some self-knowledge here, that your success comes from the projection of your personal product. There's no point in my playing something which the playlist committee of Radio 2 think is suitable for the general Radio 2 audience. I'm programming for one person, and that's me as a boy. That is the person who would now be me as a boy, the person who today wants to hear all of the types of music, the new music and the old music that I like to hear.
Jonathan Wall, controller, Radio 5 Live.
It dawned on me after 5 minutes that if most people in the room were writing their top 30 all-time radio presenters, 3 of them were sat on my right side. I thought, what a panel. I mean, what a privilege to hear Gambaccini at length on his idols from US radio, Sue McGregor on the difference between working on Radio 4 compared to music radio, Nick Ferrari on the balancing act you have on making sure you don't get an Ofcom, but playing to the total limit of where you want to be on Provocative Debate. I just thought, you know, it's just fascinating to listen to these guys talking about their trade. And, you know, I suppose I'm on the other side of the fence, aren't I, where I'm managing them, trying to choose the right people in the right places, trying to help keep them out of trouble, trying to protect them when they are in trouble. It's just, I suppose it was just a privilege to be on a panel with them, really.
5 years' time, what's radio going to look like? What should it look like in 5 years' time?
Obviously, impact through digital is important. We all know that. We can't just keep banging on about it. We've got to keep doing new ways of doing it. I'll give you one stat that I'm really proud of. 2 weeks ago, an FA Cup night, fairly quiet FA Cup night, midweek, but we had on BBC the audio rights to that night, and we had gold clip rights video to play in. Red button numbers on the night, 800,000. BT, watching the live game, 300,000. So take away the other 2.5 million who might be listening on DAB and medium wave, right? I'm thinking that's quite good tactics, okay, to try and bring reach. So impact through digital, very important. I've talked about it before, haven't I? Working together as an industry is quite important. I think we all get on pretty well, managers of LBC, TalkSport, 5 Live. I wish them well on their various new channels that are coming out in 2 weeks' time. It's going to be very important for the industry that it does okay, that it gets a vibe, that it gets a buzz. I don't want them to do too well. You know, I'm competitive, but I need them to do okay because there needs to be a vibe around TalkSport 2, Talk Radio, Virgin Radio, Chris Moyle's been on Radio X. There needs to be a vibe about the industry for us all to do okay.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari from LBC on radio success, and we had to ask about Ofcom.
The joy of radio is that whereas other forms of media are in contraction, such as newspapers, or in brutal fights and losing viewers, such as TV, radio continues to expand. And as I have said many times, if Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg was to invent radio tomorrow, everybody would say, "Ooh, this is the most amazing medium." This, I promise you, is going to go from strength to strength and will at least see me into retirement. Because of Ofcom, we have far better speech radio. Actually, we've probably got the best speech radio that I know of, and I've travelled around the US and Australia. We cannot have people just saying ridiculous things just to shock. Shock jockery gets you nowhere. So I applaud Ofcom. I have no knowledge which way they're going to go, but I want to ensure that we work with them and absolutely respect the code that they do.
Sue McGregor, Radio 4 legend on her journey into the BBC and a special radio moment.
I was lucky. I've always been mad about radio and always wanted to work in it. But I was lucky in that I grew up in South Africa in the 50s and 60s where there was no television. So radio was king, be it commercial radio or the South African Broadcasting Corporation. But I never thought I'd actually be working in radio as a performer. That came about just by an extraordinary chance. I worked for the English service. I wanted a job for the English service as opposed to the Afrikaans or the African language services of the South African Broadcasting Corporation as a PA to the lady who was doing their women's program, which was rather modelled on Woman's Hour. And in those days, when you got married, you had to reapply for your own job or just leave the staff. And she decided she didn't want to reapply for her own job, and she left the staff. And a very, very, very marvellous man who ran the English service in Cape Town said to me, "I think you should do the programme." You know, for the first 6 months, I didn't know what I was doing, but I stayed for 5 years, and by the time I left and came to London to work for the BBC, I'd had quite a lot of experience. One of the most difficult reunions I ever chaired was about the Hillsborough Stadium ghastly accident, which happened in 89, I think it was, and two mothers who'd lost children came, and somebody who was an ambulance driver came, and a local journalist came, and some the police, as it happened, didn't want to talk to us. But these mothers were so brave. They were very different. One was a working-class lady, and one was very middle-class, and she had a daughter at university. And in the end, they were just sort of holding hands to keep you know, to keep going.
Mary Hockaday, Controller, BBC World Service English.
Somebody in the audience was talking about new media and old media and broadcasting and radio somehow being old media, and I just don't want to think of what we do as old. So I think we're a new media. We're definitely a renewing media, and the new platforms of digital technologies and social platforms, they really are helping us rethink radio and certainly rethink how we get great content to audiences in lots of different ways that are really convenient for people and very easily accessible on mobile phones, which now is such a huge way for people to listen, and we're certainly finding that around the world.
And finally, Radio Today caught up with the broadcaster Emma Barnett, who was attending the evening.
The difference between being a print journalist, as I am, and a broadcast presenter, a broadcast journalist, is you don't have to interpret the story when you're on air. I don't have to write the headline. I don't have to put the best bit first. It just comes out and it's how it should be. The father rang in and said, I'm sitting on the bench opposite my house because I think, having just listened to the programme, that my wife has got postnatal depression, because we were talking about it. And she's been acting really weird and I can't take it anymore, and I didn't want to embarrass her by being in the house, so I've come to sit on the bench to talk to you. And he just broke down. And that was at 5 p.m. on a Sunday on my LBC programme. And I was so emotional listening to that, so blown away he'd chosen to tell us. He had suspected it. It wasn't like we diagnosed it. But the fact that he'd gone outside to talk to me, I just felt very overwhelmed. And it was interesting, always 6 till 7 p.m. as the sun was going down, especially obviously in the summer, you always got matters of the heart. You always got people starting to tell you things. It's where people can open up. And that is amazing. And I felt an enormous privilege to talk to him. I recently did break my one golden rule and drank on air, which was not okay, because I just about managed to scrape through having had about 10 shots of beer and wine on the Christmas edition, or just before the Christmas edition. So that was slightly knuckle-raising, because I went out 10 seconds early and the poor continuity man before the news had to really wangle and eke this out.
Are we the first to know this on Radio Today? Or
I think you may be.
To sum up, the key themes throughout the discussion focused on truth, simplicity, trust and intimacy that keeps radio the most powerful storytelling medium. To find out more about the Media Society and upcoming events, visit themediasociety.com.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.